Goedemorgen en welkom hier. Dat is Shane Varaby Juntizana. Mijn naam is Reverend Shane Friesen. En ik ben mijn vriend van de Altona Jent van de Smoriest hierher gekomen. Ik bereis jeder van Junt van de Almorien tom deze Gottesdienst. God heeft ons Vara gezegd dat we een gelegenheid hebben zijn woord op te melken en leren wo wie op deze eerd leven zullen. En ik persoonlijk zie zeer dankbaar dat ik een wedere gelegenheid heb God zijn woord uit te brengen. God zij dank. Laat ons beten. Hemelse Vader, we komen van jou voor dienen genoden trouwen en vrouwen die onze je harten op te melken en ons dienen wensen voor ons te wezen. Bitte schenk ons verstandnis en wijsheid, doormat wie met pinkelijkheid uit dienen schrift lezen en verstonen kennen, zonderlich wo dien woord ons leert te leven. Bitte steuken je ons ook doormat wie hun loof zou zingen kennen, wo je het verdienen. We danken die voor al die zegeningen wat wie in onze levens vingen, en besonders door jou, dat je dienen Zoon, Jezus Christus, geschenkt hebben, om ons te wezen, wo wie ons leven zullen, en om aan dat kruis voor onze zinden te betonen. Im Namen Jesu beten wir. Amen. Lord, uns nu hörtlich zu unserer Haar singen.
Licht vom Licht erleuchte mich, Nummer 600 und 1000.
Licht vom Licht erleuchte mich bei dem frühen Tageslichte. Gnaden Sonne stelle dich für mein Wintres an
But all I got to sound them was also not 29. Six 629.
Letzte Woche, meine Familie und ich haben mir sehr Strömer Regenbogen gesehen. Vielleicht die auch. Sie waren so voll und klar und dach. Und sie waren sehr abfallend. Einmal waren meine Frühsach am 1. ein Regenbogen. Sie kamen in das Haus gerannt und fordert uns alle Bücher zu gehen. Gottes wunderschönes Wort zu sein. Wir haben uns alle Bilder aufgenommen und die Bilder mit Freunden und Freundschaft mitgeteilt von dort schmacken Regenbogen. Diese wunderschönen Regenbogen haben uns Spaß gemacht, er hat uns taub gebogen und er hat uns in dem Herrn ermutigt. Vielleicht hast du eine ähnliche Erfahrung mit Regenbogen gehabt. Wieder. Ich lebe dort, wir als Christen denken auch viel an die Bibelgeschichte von Noah, wenn wir den Regenbogen betrachten, nicht so? Für mich ist es immerhin so. Vielleicht werden sie helfen, mir ein Denk zu holen an dort, wo Gott deid, als er die Erde überschwemmt und durch dort alle Menschen anbringt. Dort hat alle Menschen Büte Noah, seinen drei Jungs und ihre Frauen. Und vergeht wie auch nicht von all den Tieren, die zu der Zeit gestorben sind, auch. Wahre Büte dem, was in der Ark wir. Ja, für mich sind die Regenbogen ein Ungedenk, für was Gott getan hat, so viele Jahre zurück. Aber die Bibel sagt, dass da ist ein anderer Zweig oder Ursäug, ein anderer Purpose für die Regenbogen. Und ich wundere, bist du damit bekannt? Lass uns sein, wo das Wort Gottes von dir uns lehren wird. Und ich will nun lesen Dort Geschichte von Mose, von Noah, wir wollen anfangen in 1. Mose, Kapitel 6, Vers 5, und ich will lesen, bei Kapitel 9, Vers 17. 1. Mose, Kapitel 6, Vers 5. Der Herr sagt dort den Menschen, sei ihr beis, aber ihr wären, und dort ihre Gedanken bloß den Tiet ewig schlechte Gedanken wären. Und dem Herrn deid dort leid, dort hei hat Menschen, aber ihr gemerkt. Am wir dort sei ihr schod. Und hei seid, ich war diese Menschen, wo ich gemerkt habe, von aber ihr utroden. Ich war Menschen und alle Tieren und Fehl utroden. So schod es mir dort, dort ich an gemerkt habe. Aber Noah wir Gott ohne seinen beim Herrn. Vers 9, Kapitel 6. Dit ist die Geschichte von Noah. Noah wir ein gereichter Mann. China kann arm und seine Tiet beschuldigen. Noah lebt in Gemeinschaft mit Gott. Noah hat drei Sehens, die heißen Sam, Ham und Japheth. Und Gott sagt, wo bei uns die Menschheit wir, und dort die Erde voll von Ohrreichtet und Ohrbandet leben wir. Er sagt dort, alle Menschen auf der Erde schonhaft lebten. Und Gott sagt zu Noah, ich habe bei mir beschlossen, mit allen Menschen und Tieren ein Eng zu merken. Der ganze Erde ist voll von ihr unbandet Leben. Nun will ich an umbringen und ein Eng mit der Erde merken. Du sollst nun ein grautes Schöp von gautet Halt bühen. Da sollen mehrere Stoven bennen sein, und von Büte und von Bennen sollst du dort mit Pech beschmieren. Du sollst dort Schöp 150 Meter lang, 25 Meter breit und 15 Meter hoch merken. Merk ein Dach ab dort Schöp, ein halber Meter Hecher aus der Sieden. Merk einer der an der Sied und bü dort drei Fluren nennen. Daudet, wie es eck eine Ewerschwärmung war kommen loten. Dei wort alle Menschen und Tieren mit lebenden Odem auf der Erde und an ihrem Himmel anbringen. Mit die Ober, wo ich ein Bund merken und die in dort Schöp nennen. Ich wo die und deine Sehens und deine Früh und deine Sehens ihre Frühes in dort Schöp nennen. Und du sollst von jeder sortieren, immer zwei in dort Schöp nennen. So wurden die am Leben blieben. Du sollen immer ein Hai und eine Sei von jeder Sort sein. Zwei von jeder Sort Fehl, zwei von jeder Sort Tieren und zwei von jeder Krypttier sollen nur die kommen, dort du dein um Leben hältst. Nimm auch von jeder Sort Fauder und spick ja dort ab. Dort wird zu eten sein für an und für die. Und Noah deid alles, was der Herr am Fehl gesagt hat. Kapitel 7. Und der Herr sagt zu Noah, geh in dort Schöp nennen, du und deine Familie. Ich habe gesehen, dass du in dieser Zeit ein gereichter Mann bist. Nimm immer 7 Paar von jeder Sort reine Tieren, immer ein Hai und eine Sei und jeder Paar. Nimm ein Paar von jeder Sort, was nicht rein ist, immer ein Hai und eine Sei. Nimm immer 7 Paar von jeder Sort Fehl, immer ein Hai und eine Sei in jeder Paar. Dort dei nicht auf der Erde ausstorben. Am 7. Tag, wo ich einen Rehen schicken, dei 40 Tag, Dag und Nacht rennen wird. Ich will alle Sorten Tieren, wird ich ab ihr gemerkt habe, anbringen. Und Noah deit alles, was der Herr am vergesagt hat. Noah wird 600 Jahre alt, als die Überschwemmung ab ihr kam. Und Noah und seine Sehns und seine Früh und seine Sehns ihre Frühes gingen in dort Schöpnen, um sich von der Überschwemmung weich zu bringen. Von den reinen und von den unreinen Tieren und auch von den Feil und von den Krüpptieren kamen immer zwei auf einmal. Eine Hai und eine Sei, mit Noah Taub und dort Schöpnen. So aus Gott Noah dort vergesagt hat. Und nach 7 Tagen kam die Überschwemmung auf die Erde. Und in Noah sind 600 Jahre in der zweiten Monat, an dem 17. Tag, sprangen alle Schwalen ab von Deib in die Erde und alle Fenster, die Worte im Himmel hielten, gingen ab. Dort regend Tag und Nacht für 40 Tage. Und trägt den Tag gingen Noah und seine Sehns, Sam, Ham und Japhet, und Noah seine Früh und seine Sehns ihr Frühes und dort Schöpnen, und auch jede Sort von dort Fei, von den Tieren, von den Krüpptieren und von den Feil, da gingen immer zwei Teilig von jeder Sort von Tieren, die lebenden Odem holen, mit Noah Taub und dort Schöp. Kriegt so aus Gott dort vergesagt hat. Und der Herr Milch, der hänge an Tau. Die Überschwemmung wird immer gerater. Für 40 Jahre so dort Schöp abhauf und schwamm. Dort Wurde wird sehr deep, aber dort Schöp bleibt ab dem Wurde. Dort Wurde wird so deep, dort alle Bäume in ihr Wurde gingen. Dort wir 7 Meter Wurde über die Bäume. Und alle Leben auf der Erde, Feil, Fei, Tieren und alle Tschnipasch und auch alle Menschen träumen um. Alles, was auf der Erde einen lebenden Odem hat, starb. Der Herr droht all das Leben auf der Erde aus, Menschen, Tieren, Krüpptieren und Feil. Bloß nur und die, die mit Arm und dort Schöp wären, wären ewig geblieben. Und die Überschwemmung bleibt für 150 Jahre auf der Erde. Kapitel 8. Gott hielt Noah und die Tieren und Vieh, die mit Arm am Schöp wären, am Denk. Und Gott leit einen Wind über dort Wasser kommen und dort Wasser nahm auf. Die Schwalen von einer Erde und die Fenster um Himmel gingen tau. Und die Rehen jäfen noch. Dann 150 Dörr jink dort Wurde immer leer. Bat sich dort Schöp an dem 17. Tag von der 7. Monat auf einen Bäuch in der Ararat-Bäu saad. Dort Wurde jink dann nach wieder rauf, bat an dem 1. Tag von der 10. Monat der Spätze von der Bäu zu seinen Wirren. Nur nach einmal 40 Jahren merkt Noah dort Fenster am Schöp ab und leit eine Kreu los. Die Fluch, Hahn und Träg, bat dort Wurde von der Erde ganz aufgetrocknet wird. Dann leit er eine Duv los, wie es er wohl sein auf dort Wurde aufgetrocknet wird. Aber die Funk keine steht, wo sie sich Hahn satten können, wirst dort Wotter nach Tauchjuch wir. Und deitschheim träg no dort Schäpp, so dort Noah seine Hand rutsch durch und ar träg am Schäpp nan neim. No seven de Meier deo leit Noah nach Wara de Duv laus, den Ovent chaim dei träg mit ein reinet Blot von einem Olivenbaum am Schnovel. Det seid Noah, dort Wotter aufgetragen wir. Dann, no nach amol seven deo, leit hei dei Duv laus, und dei chaim dort mo nicht träg. Als Noah 601 Jahre alt wir, und dem ersten Tag von der ersten Monat, wir dort Wotter weich von appeiert. Und Noah nahm dort Tag von dort Schäpp rauf und checkt rüt und sagt, dort der Erd aufdrehen deid. An dem 27. Tag in der zweiten Monat wird der Erd dreh. Gott sagt nur, nu, geht ut dort Schäpp rüt. Du und deine Früh und deine Sehns und ihre Frühes. Und bring all die Tieren, Fähel und Kryptieren rüt. Dort sei können Junge haben und sich ab ihr vermehren. Und Noah ging ut dort Schäpprüt mit seiner Familie. Und alles, was sich ab ihr bewegt, jeder Tier und jeder Kryptier und jeder Fell, immer mit seinen Schlecken gingen ut dort Schäpprüt. Und Noah mög einen Altar für dem Herrn und mög ein Opfer von jeder reine Tier und von jeder reine Fell. Er verbrennt dei auf dem Altar und ein Brandopfer. Aus der Herr dann dort scheine Geruch von dort Opfer reckt, seht er zu sich selbst, ich war nie nicht wahr, der Erd bestrofen wehen de Menschen. Ek weit dort von jung an sind de Menschen ihre Gedanken, beise Gedanken. Ek war nie nicht wahr mit einem Fluch all das Leben auf der Erd anbringen. So aus ek dit mo hab. So lang aus der Erd steht, wort Sodeltiet und Erntiet. Kalte Tiet und heite Tiet, Sommer und Winter und Tag und Nacht nicht abhören. Und Gott sehnt Noah und seine Sehns und seht, habt jüne Familien und vermehrt jünt, dort der Erd bevölkert wird. Jeder Tier auf der Erd und jeder Fell wird dort pflegt und jeder Fisch am Wasser wird sich verjüngt schön. Und sie wollen die Macht Eva anhaben. Jede Sort von Tieren auf der Erde ist dort für jüngt zum Eten. Kreigt so aus, ich jüngt dort, wo du wohst, jäf ich jüngt alles. Aber sie sollen nicht Fleisch mit dort Lebensblut dort nach Bannen eten. Wann dort ein Mensch sein Leben genommen wird, wird dort eine Verantwortung sahnen. Von jedem Tier, wort einen Mensch anbringt, wort verlangt. Von jedem Mensch, der ein Menschenleben nimmt, wort sein Leben verlangt. Wer ein Menschenleben nimmt, dem sein Leben soll genommen werden. Wie es Gott hat den Mensch so aus sich selbst gemerkt. Sie sollen Zähne haben und Grautzähne, Gott alle Wehen auf der Erde und Familie jüngt. Und Gott sagt zu Noah und seine Sehns, horcht einmal, ich mög einen Bund mit jüngt und jüne noch kommen. Mit jeder Sort von Fehl, Fei und Tieren auf der Erde, die mit jüngt ut dort Schäpp chimen, das ist ein Bund mit jüngt. Ich war niemals wahr, all das Leben anbringen, mit einer Ewerschwammung. Ek voor nie nie ware met einer ewe schwammung, de ihr ganz verdorven. Und Gott seht, ek wurde Tierchen geben, dort ek ab immer diesen Bund gemilkt hab. Der Bund ist zwischen mir und Jünd und Jüne noch kommen. Und alle Tieren, alles wird ab ihr den lebenden Odem haft. Ek vor meinen Bauern und der Wolken saaten, für ein Tierchen von meinen Bund mit der Erde. Wenn ek vor Wolken bringen und die Bäuen von dort wort zu seinen Sennen, wo ek an den Bund zwischen mir und Jünd und alle Tieren denken. Und dort wort nie nicht wahrer eine ewige Schwammung geben, wo alle Menschen und Tieren anbringen wort. Wann der Bauern eine Wolken ist, wo ek den seinen und an den Bund zwischen mir und alle Menschen und Tieren, die einen lebenden Odem haben, denken. Dit ist das Tierchen von dem Bund, den ek mit allen Menschen und Tieren ab ihr Milch. Also, von dieser Geschichte der ersten Rehenbauern können wir deutlich verstehen, dort Rehenbauers sind nicht bloß Tierchen für uns, nicht so? Sondern, und vielleicht noch wichtiger, sie sind ein Aufgedenk für Gott. Dort hei haft versprochen, dort hei wort de beise Welt nicht ware durch ein ewe Schwammung vernichten. Aber, auch von Gott dort versprochen haft, können Rehenbauern aus ne Warnung für uns sehnen. Dort heit eine Warnung, dort Gott kann dort beise nicht verdrehen. Gott kann den Stolz nicht verdrehen. Gott kann die Hurerie, dort Sexual Immorality, er kann dort nicht verdrehen. Gott verdreht dort auch nicht, wenn abgewaschenen Menschen die Zunge mit böser Lehre oder ab den unrechten Stift führen dürfen. Sprüche 8, Kapitel 8, Vers 13 und 14 sagt es dort. Dem Herrn fürchten meint dort böse verschmieden. Ich kann den Stolz dort protze, der böse Wehe und verdrehte Red nicht verdrehen. So sagt Gott. Und Gott ist dort böse, so sei jen an. Dort hei wir reid, die Welt und alles durch an umzubringen, um et los zu worden. Und obwohl et hier in 1. Mose heit, dort Gott die Welt nicht ware durch eine ewige Schwammung vernichten wird, nicht durch eine ewige Schwammung. Wie aus Christen sollen weiten, dort Gott haft in sein Wort, wahre versprochen der Welt und alles, was nicht zu ihm hielt, zu vernichten. Aber diesmal nicht mit Worten, sondern mit vier. 2. Petrus, Kapitel 3, Vers 7, sagt es dort. Aber der Himmel und die Erde, die von dir den Dach bestohlen, wurden wahre durch dasselbe Wort bewohrt, um dann durch den vier zu gehen. Wann die Gottlose waren gerecht und verdammt waren. Und in Offenbarung, Kapitel 21, Vers 1, sagt es dort. Und ich sah einen neuen Himmel und eine neuen Erde, wie aus der erste Himmel und die erste Erde verschwungen. Und da ist auch kein Meer mehr. Die Erde ist verschwungen. Warum? Weil sie abgebrannt mit vier Wort. Jo, Tom Kartfoto, die Bibel lehrt uns, dass ein Rehenbauern ist ein Tierchen, dort Gott jenen Sünde ist. Und wie sollen dafür sorgen, dort uns unsere Sünden vergeben sind, durch den Glauben und der Hingeben an Jesus Christus, damit wie auch nicht vernichtet worden, so als Jana, die bei der ersten Überschwemmung angekommen sind. So far, part one of the message. I now invite all of you who are willing and able onto bended knee for anything that lies upon your heart this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Take the red books, turn to page 353. What a friend we have in Jesus. Number 353. Can we stand, please?
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Thank you very much for that singing. So in the first part of the message, I focused on the rainbow. And of course, that's part of the story of the flood and Noah's Ark. And Noah's Ark is what we call it Noah's Ark, but it's actually God's Ark, wasn't it? God instructed Noah, and Noah did his part, but they did it together because God told him what to do, how to do it, and God waited for him to be completed. So it was a shared experience, but I should rather call it God's ark, which Noah helped build. The ark is such an impressive thing for us. I think we think about it quite a bit. And in fact, I know of at least two replicas that have been built to kind of show us what that might have looked like when Noah would have built such a thing for God. The one you're probably familiar with is the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. And I just recently learned that there's also one that's been built in Bolivia. Perhaps some of you have heard of that. Near a small town called, if I say it right, Pylon. There's an ark, which is more of a Bible school or a Bible center. So it's not quite as exact as the Ark Encounter is in Kentucky, but they have done a similar thing, trying to show people what the ark of God would have looked like. And so it has been an interest of mine and my family to visit the ark in Kentucky, and we did that this spring. And we had a wonderful trip, and it was a wonderful vacation and a good experience for us. There's lots of information there to help you to understand God's plan, but also how the ark was made, what it might have looked like, how it was built, and so on. And for me, one of the biggest things that I realized or noticed when I was there was the size. Now, we know that it was Noah and his family that were building it. And the size of it, when you see it, it's almost hard to accept that they could do such a big work. In fact, the Ark in Kentucky is today the world's largest timber construction, even to of lumber. It's 510 feet long, 51 feet high, and 85 feet wide. It's a huge ark. In it, like we read this morning, there's three levels or three stories. And just to give you an idea of how big it is on the inside, it could hold 447 semi-trailers, would fit in that size, in that area. Lots of space for the animals. But not only for the animals, they had to store food as well and water. They had to store drinking water and food. In fact, when they built this ark in Kentucky, they'd be there, and the food you would have to take and the water you would have to provide, they wanted to make sure that it could work, that it was possible. And so the ark that was built in Kentucky is made so that it can hold over 300,000 gallons of water. 300,000 gallons of water. And over 880,000 pounds of food. That's what that ark can hold. It was a huge undertaking for Noah to construct. To construct and fill with food and water. And we must remember, it was prepared by hand and with simple tools. And when you see the inside and the beams that they have installed in that ark, and that was all lifted and put in place by simple tools and the power of man, instruct and lead them in this project. It was not an easy thing, a very difficult thing. It would have taken much faith just to consider the idea of building an ark. And let's not also forget that it took a long time to build the ark. The best estimates that I have gotten are that it would have taken between 55 and 75 years to build the ark. That's a long time where you are spending your whole day or most of your day building something in faith. A very good lesson for us, I think. And during that time, it was a testimony to everyone else around, wouldn't it have been? I drove to Kentucky to see this thing that was built. I'm sure in that day and age, people heard about this ark, this boat, that work he's put into it. The way it's being built is amazing. I'm going to go view it and look at it and talk to him why he is doing such a thing. I'm sure that in that day and age, people were coming to look at that ark. And so when they did, it was a testimony to them that God was unhappy with the evil in the world, that God requires them to change, to come to Him, for there will only be safety in this ark. If you refuse, then you will die. That was the message. And of course, we know that no one accepted that message except Noah and his family. Everyone rejected it. Nevertheless, he witnessed it to them. He still told them about it. They still heard the word of God that what they were doing was wrong. And that Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You see, Noah is known as a preacher of righteousness. And I believe, and many people take, that he was a preacher by the work he was carrying out in doing the will of God, in building this ark, and then talking to people as they came to investigate it. Testimony to the unbelievers. And in particular, it was a testimony of faith. Faith is how God expects us to be saved. And the same is true for Noah. For Noah needed to have faith in order to follow God's instructions. He needed to have faith. First of all, Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Blood on the world, that will be higher than every place you can possibly go to sit. It'll be higher than every mountain. It's never happened before. This is what I promise you is going to happen. And Noah said, I believe you. I'm going to follow your instructions. That's the faith. Noah said, I have not seen this yet, but I trust you are telling me the truth, and so I will do what you ask. That is faith. And some people, and I have always thought this as well, think that part of that faith was the fact that it may not ever have rained on the earth up till that point either. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb, and there was not a man to till the ground. In the beginning of the Bible, it talks about plants being fed from springs and mists and from under the earth, but not from rain. And so it's quite possible that it had never rained yet. And here Noah is telling you it's going to rain, and therefore the earth is going to flood. You see, that makes the faith even greater, to tell them something that they have never heard about. This is going to happen. And they're going to think, you're crazy, Noah. This has never happened before. Why should we believe you? And yet, Noah believed. And that is what we are called to do, to believe what God has told us in His Word. So it was a testimony of faith. How big it was. How it looked to see the amount of animals that would have been in that ark. I realized very quickly that actually there was going to be a lot of work for those eight people on the ark. And that's something in Sunday school I don't think we teach very often. We talk about the rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And a lot of us enjoy a good rain, so that's maybe how I've thought about it in the past. Oh, a nice relaxing rain. But as a matter of fact, they weren't on the ark for just 40 days and 40 nights. They were on the ark for over a year. For over a year. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So that's when it started, when Moses, or when Noah was 600 years old. And then we go to chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry, but they didn't leave the ark yet then. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried, and God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives. So they were on the ark for over a year, water them, and they had to clean up their waste. For over a year, while they were saved, they had things to do. And that struck me, because that speaks to something I've been thinking about quite a bit. Some Christians think, well, I'm saved, therefore I can go do whatever I want, not worry about working for God or living a righteous life or what have you. But the story of the ark is one that, even though you are saved, you still have things to do within that saving grace. And that really hit home to me. So there were 8 people aboard that boat. At the ark encounter, they've calculated, and their best guess is there might have been around 2,800 animals on that boat, on the ark. And so that gives 350 animals. It's not doing nothing. You are doing work during that time. Another thing I noticed is the door of the ark. God closed the door. It wasn't Noah who closed the door. God said when that door was closed. God said when I've given them enough of a chance, those people in the world. I've told them through Noah that I'm unhappy with them, and they have refused to accept me. And God said, now it is enough. There is enough time has gone past. I am saying it's over now. God closed the door. And once it was shut, there was no going in. Once that first rain fell, people could not come to Noah and cry to him and say, please open the door for me. It was too late. Once the rain was come, it was too late. They had to decide to accept God's word. We need to accept God's word, even if we don't understand it fully. Also, we don't have an unlimited time. Some people think, well, I'll just live a real fun life, and then at 80 or so, then I'll come to church and go to God. Well, what if God kills you at 79? How's that going to work out for you? I mean, you can imagine many different scenarios. But the fact of the matter is, we all have a certain amount of time, and we don't know when that time is up. But God shuts the door, and dan asa talot. And then it is too late. Even if you come to your deathbed, and if you have lived your whole life against God, do you really think you can sincerely repent in that last hour? That's my question. Do you really think you can have the right heart in that last hour if you've lived 75 years totally against God? I think you can say the words, I trust in you, Jesus. You can say those words. But God is looking at your heart, and he is seeing, if I would let this person live now for another 10 years, would he be a Christian, or would he go back to his old ways? That's what God is thinking. And that's a question I have asked of some people who have kind of turned, it seems, in their last days to faith. I asked the question to myself, what if God would heal them and let them live for another 10 years? Would they live in faith? That's the question. At some, and that's just how it is. That's in the story of Noah. Another thing I think about of that, when I think about Noah, that door of the ark, is that there was also no looking back. People could not get in, but on the inside, you could not look out. You decided to go in before the rain. The door was closed before the rain. And now you are in a closed building with not much for windows. And that reminds me of the story of Lot's wife, where they were all told, you do not look back. You don't look back and remember those evil days. I am bringing you into salvation. You are to look forward into the salvation that I am giving to you. Genesis chapter 19, verses 17 to 26. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that is, the angels had brought Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became of the life that she had created in this evil place, thinking of all those things that were going to be no more for her. But in order to receive salvation, she had to leave such things. And because she could not in her heart leave them fully, she looked back and was destroyed. That's what I think of when I think of that door closing on Noah and his family. There was no looking back in salvation. You look forward. What God has for us is so much better. We would insult him to think back to that which we once enjoyed. The story of Noah and the ark shows us that there are only two options. That's another good lesson. Heaven or hell. That's it. There's no such thing as in the middle or maybe. It's either heaven or it's hell. It's either in the ark or it's outside of the ark. In where it is safe or outside where God's wrath is going to be poured out. When we toured the Ark, I remember that there was a movie playing. I think they had made this film. It showed what the people of the world might have thought of Noah when he was building a big ship in a place where there had never been water. And it showed how those people thought Noah was crazy. What are you doing, Noah? It's never rained. We've never had a flood here. Where are you going to get all these animals, Noah? How are you going to feed them, Noah? Everything about it seemed insane except God's word. The world, well, they were having a good time. They were enjoying life while Noah was working for God. They were enjoying life, having parties, having fun, doing all the things that people think of as enjoying this world. All the while, Noah, for many years, was following God's word, making personal sacrifices for something he had not seen and for something the world thought was crazy. The world also thinks it has it right. The world thinks they can have a pride celebration, that they can use a rainbow flag and have as much fun as they would be allowed to have. The world thinks they're getting away with it, just like in Noah's day. Where is Jesus that you claim is coming back? Where is this rain that God said, you say God has promised? It's not here. Obviously, it's not right. This is very close parallel. And yet, the story of Noah and the ark is a lesson for us to be patient. Do we believe God when he says Jesus is coming back? Do we believe God that we're to fear him? And in that way, to try to live a good life? In Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, Jesus says that in the latter days, before he comes a second time, when the door is closed and it is too late, before that happens, Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, right up until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For some of us, that is when Jesus comes to take his church back, or to heaven, prior to the years of tribulation, when the wrath of God is poured upon the earth. No matter how it is for us, we have until that moment to decide for Jesus or not. This, by the way, also reminds me of what Jesus did for us on the cross, that is, Noah's ark. For you see, Jesus earned a place on the ark. Noah could go on the ark because he was righteous. Jesus lived a perfect life. He earned a seat on the ark, the life that God wanted. And yet, Jesus volunteers to stay outside of the ark as the flood comes, to stay outside and let anyone who comes to him, who is willing to repent of their sin and to accept him as Lord of their life, to take his place on the safety of the ark. He says to you, I will wait outside. I will face the flood. Please take my place on the ark where it is safe for you. That is what Jesus did. So in conclusion, both the rainbow and the ark teach us that God hates sin and that he will not allow it to continue forever. And God does not want us as his children to stay in sin, but to stay away from practicing any kind of evil in this life. Let us take note of this warning, and let us turn from any sin that might still be found in you. Let us remember that Noah and his family could enter safety because God found him to be righteous. Our invitation is a little different. We are invited to safety by having faith in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Faith in Jesus Christ brings us into the ark. That's what saves us. But once we're in the ark, we have chores to do. We have things we are called to do as children of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to chapter 5, verse 8. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is what we are called to do when we are inside. Our Father and great God, we come before your throne of mercy with grateful hearts this morning. The story of Noah and the flood is a difficult story. Many do not believe it, but we do, and we see it as a lesson for us. How you hate evil, you hate it so much, you were willing to destroy almost every living creature on this earth. And now you place a rainbow in the sky as a reminder to yourself that although you feel like destroying us again, you promise to be patient with us until the time that has been set. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your mercy upon us. And we pray, Father, that you help us also to be patient in our Christian walk with our Christian brothers and sisters, that you would help us also to be aware, gently seek you, to have faith in Jesus and to work at serving you in our heart, at becoming the people that you want us to become, that we find a place on that ark of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for this congregation and for their willingness to hear your word. Give to them now your spirit. Give them wisdom as well, that they may go forth from here, not only proclaiming your good news to everyone who they come across, but also that they might themselves be driven to your word and to a deeper faith, which is the only way that we are saved. Thank you. Anything else that lies upon your heart this morning, I invite you unto bended knee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, take your red books and turn to page 555. We praise thee, O God. We changed the song.
Few events to keep in mind for this week. On Tuesday, the 18th, at 7 p.m. in the Morton Somerfeld Church, there will be a mission evening, and the speaker will be Pastor John Kipoen, I believe. And also, will be a fundraiser. A soup and pie fundraiser for Living Waters Christian Academy, and that is the school that is starting up that our conference is supporting, so I'm sure they would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Please bow with me for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. You may go in the peace of the Lord.